all these questions, all the debates, and we'll do our best to try to find different angles on it. Do you break it up? Do you shake it up? Do you do nothing? Do you flirt with Barry Trotz? Do you keep Sheldon Keefe? And on and on and on it goes, and it stinks. And we'll get to it in the opening thought, but one of the reasons it stinks is it's kind of boring, isn't it? And we've been here before. Now, there is big differences between losing to Tampa in seven versus losing to Montreal. And most everyone knows that. If we're being emotionally and intellectually honest, we know there's a difference. But on a rainy Monday morning, who gives a bleep about proper perspective? Unfortunately, the Maple Leafs have made it so we have plenty of time for proper perspective. If I'm going to be optimistic about the world of sports as a whole, and why not, what a hell of a first round of the NHL playoffs. I don't believe in doing the whole, my sport's better than your sport. Every sport's great. Every sport is flawed. I personally don't care if you don't like the CFL. I love the CFL. I personally don't care which league you like the most, which league you like the least. You love soccer the most? Fantastic. You can't stand soccer? That's fine. It never impacts how I consume. But a tip of the cap to the NHL versus the NBA. In the NBA, we've had two playoff rounds. Only twice did they go seven. And we'll get into the two game sevens, Boston beating Milwaukee and Dallas blowing out Phoenix. You know, I mean, I know that the Suns won the last round. They went to the finals last year. But what happened to the Phoenix Suns, in a lot of ways, is much more shocking or ugly or gross than anything that happened to the Maple Leafs. But anyway, their bigger point. You've had two playoff rounds in the NBA. Just two games went to seven. In the NHL, five out of the eight playoff series went seven games in the first round. And yesterday, they're like, screw it, we want to play more over the weekend. We want to play more. So the Rangers beat the Penguins in overtime. The Flames beat the Stars in overtime. I mean, just a... I know what happened on Saturday is going to mar everything else. And in a lot of ways, it should. But I'll bring on my producer, Chris, for a second here. I mean, what a just a crazy last 48, 72 hours of sports.
Yeah, really. I mean, it's been an incredible weekend. I don't think I can remember the last time there were so many game sevens over the span of 2 days.
And overtime. It was crazy. It was a ton of fun. And we'll try to keep up with everything. We'll give you the latest odds for the next round of the playoffs, for the second round in the NHL, and for the Eastern and Western Conference Finals in the NBA. And hopefully those series in the NBA can go seven. But let's get to it. Let's get to my opening thought.
Time now for Matt's opening thought.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
And here we go.
I mean, it's really nothing more than a self-absorbed monologue, a chance for Matt to rant about something and pretend he's a serious radio personality instead of a gas bag. Let's face it, he stole this idea from Dennis Miller.
Now, I don't want to get off on a rant here.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
I really want to do the Sports Rage show today. Because it's just kind of cathartic. You just yell and scream to the heavens because you're upset. You should be upset. But there's nothing easier than the bleep everybody, trade everybody, fire everybody show. And if you feel like that today, I totally get it. I'm not going to do that thing on social media. You know what it is. Some of you listening, you do it. You're so self-righteous. Where people get on their high horse and they criticize you for being emotional. I'm not going to do that. Saturday night sucked. I watched the game with my two brothers and my girl at our cottage. No prettier place to take in a game. Yet my emotions were the exact opposite of my view. Game ended. My older brother went right to bed. I don't blame him. I went down to the dock, my girlfriend and my twin brother, to decompress and have one more glass of wine before bed. My brain and my heart, I realized that night, and it's still this morning and today, They're kind of in two different places. My anger, we'll start there, it's directed first at the team. Now, not for this specific series, but power play failed you. Every time you needed to get that goal, you never got that goal, did you? But I'm not really angry for this specific series, but for the bigger picture of playoff failure after playoff failure. The Leafs, and you've heard this now, they're the first team in North American history in all sports to lose a winner-take-all game in the opening round of the playoffs 5 years in a row. Yep, some of those years were against the favorite Bruins. But you know what? You want to be a great team, you got to knock out the reigning great team. Toronto never did that. Then there were the past 2 years. No way should this squad have lost to Columbus and certainly Montreal. And then there's this statistic. Since 2017, the Leafs are 1-15 in games when they either try to take a two-game series lead or when it is an elimination game. Every time opportunity presents itself, the Maple Leafs push it away like a small child when they're served broccoli. I know for so many of you that this is the main source of your frustration. It's bigger than one playoff round. It's a half decade of loss, of that feeling that this team has accomplished nothing, that they're wasting years of great players. The other half of my anger is just directed at just how the whole seeding thing works out. And yep, I know this sounds like loser talk. I get it. And yes, the team would eventually have to face someone like Tampa. But just for a second, it's not about excuses, it's just about facts. Let's compare Toronto with the two other Canadian NHL teams. Is this sour grapes? Probably. So we could squeeze this all up, put it in a bottle, ferment it, and drink it. The Leafs had 115 points in the hardest division in the NHL. And who did they get? They got Vasilevsky, Kucherov, Hedman, and the most supremely confident team in the NHL, if not in all of North America. Calgary had 111 points, 4 points fewer than Toronto. They got the Dallas Stars. Dallas is -8 this year. They got outscored in the regular season. And by the way, Jake Oettinger, he was incredible. But Calgary, they got, hey, here's a second-year goalie. He's 23 years old. By the way, the Stars' number one D in terms of time on ice is Miro Heiskanen. Good player, but just 22 years old. Calgary got gifted youth to face up against in a team that got outscored. Then there's Edmonton. 104 points, or 11 fewer than Toronto. They got an LA Kings team that had a +3 goal differential. Lower than everyone in the playoffs, not named the Dallas Stars. They faced 36-year-old Jonathan Quick, the Kings' number one defenseman in terms of time on ice, some guy named Sean Durzi. I know the idea of fair does not really exist in the playoffs. The postseason is the ultimate in only results matter. That's one of the reasons why we love the playoffs. But the Leafs had the fifth best record in the NHL, playing in the Atlantic, and yet they had the second toughest opening round draw behind only the Nashville Predators. So that's where all the anger comes from. The other side is I'm just kind of bummed out. Imagine that's what like a lot of you are. Maybe emotionally you're just dead inside. I get that as well. I'm just bummed out that it couldn't be different. This result just means it's another boring offseason. I'm sorry, but it is. I'm not sure there'll be any major moves. Maybe some Barry Trotz flirtation. If there is, any major moves, it won't be about what happened over the past 2 weeks. Any major moves that are made, it's what's happened over the past half decade, not the last 2 weeks. Because you see, here's the thing about Tampa. They've never been pushed like this before. Their first Stanley Cup run, they beat Columbus in 5, Boston in 5, Islanders in 6, and won the Stanley Cup over Dallas in 6 games. Their second cup run, Panthers in 6, Carolina in 5, Islanders in 7. We'll get to that in a moment. And then they beat Montreal in 5. They've never been pushed like they have against the Maple Leafs. But Matt, what about the Islanders? Yep. Islanders forced the game 7. Islanders won game 1. Go back and look at that series. The Islanders, their 3 wins, all by one goal. including an overtime win in Game 6, 3-2. Go back and look at that series. Tampa outscored the Islanders by 9. Toronto outscored Tampa by 1. So the storylines will be the same. Should Sheldon Keefe be fired? What about Dubas? What about Shanahan? On some slow days, we'll do a trade Nylander story. It's coming. You know it. I know it. Everyone will yell. My prediction, everyone comes back. The team does whatever it takes to get rid of Peter Mrazek's contract. So look for a package that includes the team losing some draft picks, so someone will take Mrazek. Mikheyev will get overpaid by someone else, and all eyes will be on the growth of Liljegren and Sandin. I've heard the ideas of maybe Muzzin gets moved. We'll see. Then the team will make some minor moves because no team is hamstrung by the salary cap as much as the Maple Leafs, because that salary cap got neutered by COVID. And COVID came soon after the Leafs handed out all those big contracts. You want to talk about bad timing? Leafs facing Tampa? Well, that's bad timing. Leafs facing COVID and what it did to the salary cap is worse. From a sports betting perspective, the Leafs would have been the favorite, or near the favorite, of coming out of the East if they'd won on Sunday. Maybe the Panthers would be a slight favorite. Instead, we're back to pretty much the same narratives about a talented team that is missing that killer instinct. What is that killer instinct? What does that mean? And we'll yell and scream about that. But this is a team that just doesn't quite have it. And that's scary. Kind of like it. So I'm angry. I'm bummed out that we're back in the same predictable final result. How are you doing? And that is my opening thought.
I'm finished.
And I imagine, Chris, you're seeing a lot of it on Twitter. It's two camps, and both camps make sense. Major change camp and stay the course camp. And I imagine you are like me, which is pretty much team should stay the course. Am I right in that?
Yeah, I would say so. I think we had a conversation yesterday, and I was talking about how it's really hard to reconcile how different this series felt with how similar the result ended up being. And you sort of went over that in your opening thought, and I know there's a lot of fans out there right now that don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear, they took the champs to the final, or to Game 7, rather. They just want to get the results, and that's ultimately what it comes down to.
Yeah, and listen, I get it. I get the people going, bleep you, bleep moral victories, bleep participation awards, bleep all of it. I also get people going, cause, that's loser talk. You know, you play who you play. Yeah, all that's true. I'm just throwing out the facts.
And I think
there are three Canadian teams.
Right.
Two of them also went to Game 7s against Dallas and the Kings. Please.
People don't want to consider context when they feel like this, right? It's too much work for them.
and listen, and anyone listens to this show or listens to this space or have heard me over the years, you know, we all are broken records about certain things. It's the nature of the job. You know, I hate Nutella. Hamburger is a hamburger. It's not a sandwich. A hot dog is a hot dog. It's not a sandwich. But in sports, one of my main tenets is I believe in degree of difficulty. When you look at any narrative, any story about what a team is doing, what it's done, what's accomplished, what it failed at, got to look at degree of difficulty. And I know it's hard because the Leafs have had a half decade of playoff failure, including embarrassing losses, but they faced Tampa. They didn't face the Dallas Stars who got outscored, or Jonathan Quick, who, you know, had a pretty good year for him. I think he was like 13th, 14th in goals against. You ask any member of the Edmonton Oilers or the Calgary Flames before the playoffs started. Hey, guys, you want to do a little switcheroo? Toronto had a better season than you. So put your hand up if you want Tampa and if you want to allow Dallas or the Kings to go face against the Maple Leafs. You think, Chris, any one of them would take us up on that offer?
Definitely not. It's apples and oranges, you know. You can't compare those teams.
No, you can't. You can't. And in the end, I think this is the conflict. Is Toronto, what happened to Toronto is the same thing that's happened to Columbus, Boston, the Islanders twice, Dallas, Montreal, Carolina, and the Florida Panthers. They all lost to Tampa. The difference? Toronto pushed them harder than anyone else. It doesn't mean there isn't flaws in what we saw in that first round. We'll get into more on the other side. Because I think, I know what's probably coming off is that, oh, you're soft pedaling. You're giving the team an out. You're giving them all the excuses. So let's get on the other side. Let's talk about what they did wrong. You know, try to get this as fair and balanced as possible. Because there's a lot of emotion today. And I'll just say this. For everyone who 100% disagrees with me, I get it. I just hope that when you engage in conversations about this team and how frustrated you are, disagreement is good. Dismissiveness gets nobody nowhere. Anyway, more on the Leafs. Play some sound. And I thought maybe the most interesting piece of sound about the Maple Leafs came from Steven Stamkos. So we'll get into that. You are listening to Gameplay right here on TSN 1050. All right, if we're going to be fair and balanced about all of this, in the last block, I explained about how you shouldn't be as angry because Tampa is damn good. Toronto faced a team they never should have in the first round. The Leafs pushed Tampa harder than anyone else, blah, blah, blah. Well, Tampa also didn't have Braden Point for the majority of the game. Toronto was at home, and they still lost. And Tampa built up a wall. Toronto wasn't able to get through it. The power play failed them. There was a lot of failure on the ice in Game 7 by the Leafs. Just happened it was against Hedman and Kucherov and Vasilevskiy and that team. Now, I was going to start playing some sound, but instead I'm just going to start reading some texts. Chris, I love this first one. Barrington and Bayside writes in, Matt, unlike the exits in previous years, I'm not at all ashamed of their exit in Game 7 against the champs. I agree. See, I think it can be both. I think you can be really super-duper upset at the totality of the Leafs, but in this specific series, it's hard to be. Anyway, I'm going to continue with this text. Person then writes in, I submit to your audience, if this departure has you stressed or depressed, try to remind yourself of this basic truth. We come into this world alone and we die. Even if surrounded by loved ones, we ultimately die alone. Chris, this is what the Leafs have done, sending this text to this show.
That started out so nice, and then it really went downhill from there. I was going to give it credit for being very balanced and objective, but that's very sad at the end.
Yeah, I know. Let's keep going. Hey, dumb. By the way, if you text the show and you swear, I'm going to do my best not to say the swear words on air. Hey, dumb S-word, I don't want to hear about the seeding excuses. They also got the Habs and the Blue Jackets the past 2 years and couldn't do a thing. To this person who texted in, and maybe you didn't hear everything I said, and I talk fast, I get it. I also said over and over and over again, those losses to Montreal and Columbus were embarrassing. And the thing is, I'm not using it as an excuse. I'm just sort of going over the facts of the nature of the NHL playoffs, and man, the Leafs got a really bad hand. I think we can all agree on that. Let's see. Mark from Burlington writes in, look at it this way. The Leafs are teaching us all how to better deal with disappointment, also starting summer early, so there's that, LOL. Eric from Oakville says, love cause. I should have recorded the opening thought. Well, you can find the opening thought. If you go to our Twitter account, it'll be there. And I know my producer, Chris, cuts it and it throws it out there on the TSN 1050 account. I like this one. This one's good here. The Leafs are like a failed marriage that stays together for the kids. Sometimes it just doesn't work. It's nobody's fault, and everyone needs a change. Yep, that works.
That guy's been watching Ozark for sure.
Oh, my God. I haven't watched the second half. The second half of the final season. I just call Ozark. To me, Ozark's the show where every episode I go, is this the one where Bateman dies? And then at the end of the episode, like, how did Bateman not die? That's how I look at it, Chris.
I'm not going to spoil anything for you.
Okay, that's good.
The entire second half of season four is incredible. I will say the last 3 minutes is a little, I don't know. I'll leave it at that. It's a little
tease. Well, even that feels like a lot. Moral victories are not what they play for. Moral victories is loser talk. They lost again. 0-10, clinching a series. How many more years do we have to watch this team lose when it matters most? Marner, zero shots. Marner did have zero shots, but he did have a hell of a game. I'm pretty sure that that there's three elimination games in a row for him. Time for a serious change. Chris in Toronto, born in 71, so I've been waiting my entire life for even a cup final appearance. Chris, I was born in 75. I am also waiting for this as well. Do we have time for one piece of sound, or are we done? Are we done here?
Yeah, we're good. You can throw one. Yeah.
Okay, real quick, give me the Steven Stamkos sound. Here's Steven Stamkos talking about the Maple Leafs.
It's a great hockey team, no doubt. They've got all the pieces. I mean, it's just, it's not easy. It's not easy this time of the year, and we've talked about it as a group before. We've had some failures in the past, and you just move on, and you just got to get over that hump. That's the thing. Sometimes it becomes mental, but it certainly wasn't, because they're not worthy of it. They are. They're a team that was one of the toughest series we've probably played.
It's funny, though, hearing that, it still doesn't make anything feel better. All right, on the other side, Mark Masters is going to join the show, and we'll get into the nitty-gritty. What the hell happened? What the hell happened to this team? That's coming up in a moment. You are listening to Gameplay right here on TSN 1050. Wait a minute. Hold on. I got to say this. I know there's a usual thing of music in our catalog, but producer Chris, on the day after the, or 2 days now after the Leafs lose Game 7, are out of the playoffs for the first round for the 12th year, 18th year in a row, and jump on the mic for a quick second before we get to Mark Masters. Do you think playing Glory Days was the right choice?
No, I'm going to say that's not sitting well with a lot of people.
It's a rainy, crappy Monday. There are many ways to describe today. Glory Day is not one of them. So I don't know what we have the rights to, but, you know, Everybody Hurts is a good one. The good thing about music and rock and country, a lot of sad songs. You know, a lot of sad songs, a lot of depressing songs. You know, I think we can do better. Joining me now, Leafs reporter Mark Masters. Mark, I imagine if you were in the Leafs locker room on Saturday night, you were probably not blaring Glory Days on your smartphone.
No, I doubt there was any music playing. To be honest,
yeah, probably not Walking on Sunshine. You know, We Are the Champions. I imagine none of those songs were being played.
I just have a flashback now. The Leafs had a trade deadline day. Back when they were well out of it, another lost season during the Kessel era, and we were waiting to go into the dressing room to talk to them, and the song playing was "So You Had a Bad Day."
No,
no, it's true. I think it was. I'm not sure it wasn't by design, or it just seemed to be on a loop. So anyway, that's what was playing, and we were all looking at each other, waiting to go in the dressing room, saying, "This is very apropos." But it was probably the sound of silence, right?
Yeah. By the way, and I apologize for not knowing your entire itinerary. I know most of it because I'm a bit of a stalker. And by the way, good job at Longo's today. I'm sorry that the deli didn't have everything you needed. But were you in the? Were you there? Were you in the locker room at the ACC after they lost on Saturday?
Scotiabank Arena. Yes. We. So hockey doesn't have a locker room access still.
That's right. I apologize. Yeah. Yeah.
Pandemic. But I was there. I was in the news conference, and they were devastated. They were emotional, and certainly seemed like they were fighting back tears in terms of Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner, John Tavares, you know, struggling to make eye contact. And he's a guy who usually is just, he will make eye contact. He's looking at you. Anyway, it was tough. It was tough for all of them. You could just feel the emotion in a way that maybe we didn't feel last year when it was on Zoom. And they were really, really devastated on Saturday night.
By the way, I did enjoy your correction of Scotiabank Arena. I'm still going to call it the ACC. I'm still going to call it Sky Dome. I sort of go back and forth. But you're the person for facts and journalistic integrity. I'm the guy who just tries to gas bag for a couple hours. I want to actually just talk about the game itself, because we've got plenty of time to do what's next. Always a fun topic this time of year for the Maple Leafs. But if I point to the power play as the number one reason why the Leafs lost 2-1 on Saturday night, can you trump that? Do you have something even bigger?
I just, you know, from the Leafs perspective, probably not, but just I was really impressed with the way Tampa played that game. Once, especially when they were able to get the lead and then get it back right away. Like, it was so hard at even strength for the Leafs to get anything towards the net. And I guess the Leafs play a role in that. But I give a lot of credit. Tampa Bay, they just, their will was incredible in that game. And so I guess on the other side, you could say, well, why weren't the Leafs as determined? It was just hard. They got a big, big, long defense. So I give credit to Tampa for winning that game as well in the manner that they did, because you know, Vasilevskiy was excellent. So Vasilevskiy made one more save. The Leafs power play could not break through. And the truth of the matter is there might not be one explanation for it, which is what makes it so tough, I think, for fans and the team to wrap their head around. Last year was a lot easier. They just kind of, I guess, choked, right? For lack of a better word, they just, the lead and they let it slip away. But this year there's no easy answers, which probably makes it, all the more tougher for them to wrap their head around.
Oh, I think, and that theme of tougher to wrap your head around, I think same thing for the fans, because there's two sides to this. There's the one side which says, hey, Tampa's, like, from a playoff perspective, yep, they kind of coasted the regular season. From a playoff perspective, it's basically Tampa and Colorado are the two toughest teams, and then there's a drop-off. So it's like, hey, you lost to Tampa. Everyone loses to Tampa. The other side is, bleep it, you lose in the first round every year. It's your job, highly paid stars, to not let Tampa dictate the game. I think that's like what's probably going on in a lot of people's heads right now.
Right, and you're looking for, you have these amazing players. Auston Matthews, Mitch Marner, William Nylander, John Tavares, and I thought they played well. But
they did.
You're waiting for that, Connor McDavid, understandably playing a weaker opponent, you know, he wasn't going to let his team lose that game. It's hard, you know, the Lightning have Victor Hedman. They have Andrei Vasilevskiy. Ryan McKenna is excellent. And, you know, but they lose Braden Point. I don't know. It's just, you're waiting for that breakthrough moment, right? You're waiting for a signature moment where someone on this team or that top line says, we're not losing this game, jump on our backs, and we're going to win it. Easier said than done. It's very hard to do. And, of course, the context of this loss is tied in with the previous five losses, and the last four have been do or die games, and they just haven't been able to score a lot, right? Three in the last four do or die games, one shutout and 3-1 goal games. So it's hard to know how much to take from each of all of these different series, because they do have different flavors to them, but that has been a consistent theme, is they haven't been able to break through when it matters most offensively.
And that, I think, is the thing that's going to upset Leaf fans the most, and it makes sense. We can wax poetic about how great Tampa is, and trust me, Mark, I've spent the first half hour doing just that. But the other side is, wait a minute, you guys only scored one goal, and Braden Point played 5 minutes, and you still lost. Like, I do understand the other side that says, hey, Leafs, I know Tampa's great, but you still failed.
Yeah, I mean, and you look at Tampa, Nick Paul stepped up big time in Game 7, and I thought he had an excellent series throughout the series. He was probably due, to be honest, going into that Game 7, so I wasn't surprised. Surprised he got two, perhaps, and the manner, you know, they were putting him out for so many key face-offs, and they trusted him, you know, to be out there against Matthews if it had to be that way. And the Leafs, you know, Kampf had the 5-on-5 goal, but they didn't quite get the production from the depth. So you're looking at the margins, too, as well, to see where they did it. I know Kucherov ended up with a lot of points, but I didn't think he was great, especially down the stretch in this series. So, yeah, I mean, the margins are so slim. I find in the playoffs, though, the teams that can defend better definitely seem to have a leg up. There's more game planning. Maybe the Tampa penalty kill, you know, had a leg up for whatever reason. So, yeah, you're just swimming in thoughts at this moment in time, I would think.
And then Colton Hagel and Nick Paul, yeah. 4 5-on-5 goals versus the Leafs' third line, Engvall, Kampf, and Mikheyev. Those three had just one 5-on-5 goal. That's the other part of it. Once again, the Leafs didn't get the depth help they needed.
No, 100%. And the fourth line, I think you're thinking about not just Game 7 now. You're thinking, okay, well, Game 2, Wayne Simmonds takes two pretty costly penalties, right? Tampa scored both those penalties, and that swung the game. And as I reflect on the series, I'm looking at, well, the Leafs had three chances to really take a stranglehold, or the third one was to win the series. Game 2, they kind of gave it away with lack of discipline. Game 4, they didn't show up at all at the start, and that was a huge opportunity lost. And then Game 6, again, the lack of discipline in the third period when they had a lead to go down 2 men. I mean, Tampa's Tampa's going to score in that situation. They're just going to, and Kucherov did. And then you get to a game seven where there's no margin for error and you play well and it just doesn't go your way. But when I look back on the series, I'm going to say game two on home ice, after you punched Tampa in the mouth in game one, you could not take the lead there. And then you beat them on, you know, in game three, play well, and you come out flat in game four. Like, why that happens, I'm not sure. But you miss out on those opportunities, and you can't finish it off in game six. So it's not just the game seven, which, of course, is the freshest in our mind. But, and then you can even go back even further if you want and say, okay, the regular season, they had an amazing regular season. Their goal was to win the division, which they did not, and that's why they had such a tough matchup. And we can hum and haw about the playoff format, and I agree. I don't like it. I think that you have a regular season as good as the Leafs. You deserve a better fate than to play the Tampa Bay Lightning, the two-time defending champs. But, you know, they had a goaltending issue in the middle of the year there, and Peter Mrazek's contract kind of came back to haunt you in that situation. You didn't have a better tandem there to survive that. And then they had all those games that they blew against Buffalo and Arizona getting swept, and some no-shows where if they had won those games, maybe they do win the division. And I think, you know, I look at Florida, and I don't think Florida played particularly well in the first round, but they were playing a weaker opponent, and thus they earned the ability to get by with not their best. Because I think if Toronto, you know, played Washington, I see, and they played at the level they did in the Tampa series, you think they advanced. So anyway, these are some of the thoughts pinballing around as you reflect on what's just transpired.
So people that follow Mark on a regular basis knows he always does a great job at TSN.ca in terms of just summarizing what's happened and also looking ahead. Fair to say that the number, like to me, it's funny, beyond a little bit of flirtation with Barry Trotz, and, you know, that's going to be out there and maybe just around these parts, but it'll be out there. But it feels like this is going to be a really boring offseason. Mikheyev gets overpaid by someone else, and the Leafs desperately do whatever they can to move Mrazek so they can re-sign Jack Campbell. Like, that feels like what the next 2 months are going to be for this team.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I think everyone's just digesting it right now. But, I mean, at some point, don't you have to make a big move? I mean, how many times can you see that? It doesn't necessarily mean getting rid of someone of the core four. I guess it's five now with Riley's extension kicking in, but it feels like they're going to have to try and change the formula in some sort of significant way, just because.
But that means moving one of those guys because of the way the salary caps.
Yeah. You know, what about a Muzzin? Muzzin's cap hit is north of five. I mean, it's not. I'm not saying there's an easy thing to point to, but there are ways to change the formula and to change the dynamic of this roster without trading one of those core guys. And the goaltending change could be different because you don't necessarily bring back Jack Campbell, although, you know, I thought he held up fine. I mean, he still had a sub-900 save percentage in the series. I think he was, what, the exact same number as Vasilevsky, who was just one save better in games 6 and 7.
Yeah.
So there's a chance to remake it. The goaltending position is pretty darn important. Look at what Carolina did. They changed all their goalies after last year. So, I mean, that's one way to change it, but it sure feels like there has to be, you know, Alex Kerfoot isn't the biggest name, but, you know, he's still, you know, his cap hit is significant. He's part of the leadership group. He's very well-liked in the dressing room. Versatile guy, that could be a change. You're going to look at everything. I think there is a way to change the dynamic significantly without losing a trade. I mean, it's very hard to trade those guys, the core guys, would win that trade, make yourself better. But there are ways, I think, that it could be a more interesting offseason than you're suggesting there.
You know, and I'll let you go at this point, but that is a good point about Jake Muzzin and the 5 point whatever million it is, especially if you're feeling good about the growth curve of Sandin and Liljegren, and you do have Brody and Riley. So, I mean, you know what? That is a good point. It's one I keep forgetting because, yeah, the focus is always on the core four and the forwards and all that. But, yeah, maybe it is a Muzzin, and, I mean, that certainly would free up a bunch of money.
Yeah, I mean, Muzzin was the highest cap hit on defense this year. What if Giordano wants to come back on a cheap deal, Spezza-like, and you pencil him in, and you think Sandin's going to move up? These are all left-shot guys, right? And you pencil Sandin for a bigger role down the stretch. You're confident in what Liljegren brought you on the right side there in terms of a third D. I mean, there's ways to to create some space and to change things. And we talked about the depth. If you think that third line, you know, they had their moments, but they weren't really a threat to score offensively, there are ways to change that dynamic as well. So it'll be fascinating. I mean, this is really tough. Again, because there are no easy answers, there are never easy answers when you're trying to get over the hump. But I would suggest that you can't really just say it's as simple as run it back with this team.
Do you have a locked and loaded question for media day availability, Dubas, Keith, the players? Is there a Mark Masters special coming?
Only hard balls for me. You know how it goes. But, I mean, there's no – again, I'm just fascinated. I never go in thinking that. Like, I know some fans get everyone's upset in the fan base when they lose, especially last year. But I try and – like, I'm just curious to see how they frame it, right? You know, what is their explanation for what happened? You know, why did they think they lost this series? And what does that mean for how it will inform their off-season plans? And there's so many different layers to it, right? How they feel about Jack Campbell will be interesting, what their comments are on him in that situation, right? I'll be interested to hear from Jack because we didn't hear from him after the game on Saturday, just how he's feeling, what he felt he proved during this season. And yeah, I mean, I don't know if like everyone's thinking like, okay, the hardballs or whatever, but I'm just going to be really curious to see how they kind of frame everything, right? How do they address Sheldon Keefe, right? You mentioned Barry Trotz. You look at what the job he's done. This was Keefe's first 82-game season, and there was still a COVID break in the middle of it, so it's still been pretty weird. And all he's done is what were they fourth overall in the league? It's not easy to make the playoffs, right? I mean, it's not easy to be a top five team in the league and to you know, do what they did in the regular season. And yeah, that's the first step. You have to have success in the regular season to make the playoffs. And they were set up pretty well. So I'll be interested to hear his thoughts and what Brendan Shanahan, and if he talks, and if Kyle Dubas will talk, what he says about Sheldon. We know he has such great respect for him. So there's a lot of things that I'm interested to hear tomorrow.
I can't wait. As a media gas bag, I will take all these words, hyper-analyze it, and draw conclusions that are nowhere near the actual truth, but it's what I do. Mark, all the best, my friend. Take care, and we will chat soon.
Yeah, thank you.
That is Leafs reporter Mark Masters. All right, on the other side, we got to get into maybe the most devastating playoff loss this weekend. It wasn't even the Maple Leafs. That's coming up in a moment right here on Gameplay. Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Cause, and apologies. Today's not going to be like a heavy day on lines and bets and things like that. There's nothing going on tonight except, I mean, in the NBA, the NHL. You do have the Toronto Blue Jays where it's Yusei Kikuchi on the mound taking on Seattle. Jays lose 2 out of 3 against Tampa, but now it is at least a little bit easier, an easier spot for Toronto as the competition gets a bit easier with Seattle for 3 and then the Cincinnati Reds. I would take the Jays. The money line, it is -164, but Kikuchi's pitched well as of late, so I would certainly lean in that direction. The one team that we are now loud wrong on, and we try to do it here, we beat our chests when we're right, and we're loud and honest when we're wrong. The Phoenix Suns got blown out by the Dallas Mavericks, 123-90. This never usually happens. Celtics, they beat the Bucks. The home team, after that win, the home team in a game 7, their winning percentage is 77%. The Suns had the best record in the NBA. They lose by 33. They were down by 40. Now, think about this. Phoenix was up 2-0. In this series against Dallas. At that point, they were 6-2 in the playoffs, and overall, they had 70 wins. They including the playoffs. That was a 70-win team. Like 70-14, some ridiculous record. And then from that point on, they lose 4 of the next 5 with that roster. And Chris Paul, again, he was great in the playoffs last year, great when the Suns were up 2-0 on the Milwaukee Bucks, and after that disappeared. Now we'll find out, I'm sure, about some sort of injury, hearing something about a quad issue. But he had under 10 points per game in his last five playoff games. 29 assists versus 18 turnovers, just four free throw attempts total in five games. Never took more than nine shots. The other story is Luka. Let's hear from Luka, who, by the way, had 27 points in the first half. He had the same number of points as the Phoenix Suns had for the entire half. Dallas was up 57-27. 27 from Luka. He was asked about his point total after the game.
Were you aware at halftime you had as many points as the Suns?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, what do you...
I see it.
What do you think of that?
I think our defense was amazing.
Good answer. Our defense was amazing. Deflected from you. We are seeing something now in Luka. He has taken that step. The Suns have more talent, but there is something odd going on there. And Luka Doncic, and he got help. Spencer Dinwiddie at 30 points. But Devin Booker, 11 on 3 of 14 shooting. DeAndre Ayton didn't play in the fourth quarter. Monty Williams, the head coach, says it's internal. There is strife in Phoenix, and Luka is taking that step about being the top player in the NBA. And now take on the Golden State Warriors. Incredible game. And just remarkable what happened there. We got to take a break. Dave Poulin is going to join us. And we'll get into the big question. Shake it up, stay the course. That's coming up. But first, traffic.